Here's our series on aging in Portland. Retired or rewired? What it's like getting old in a youth-centered city. Are you up for that challenge? We'll bring you lots of views, but you'll have to answer this question for yourself. Is Portland a good place in which to grow old? Episode 5, The City's Vision for the Elderly. This is the fifth in KBOO's series on what it's like to age in Portland. We call it Retired or Rewired. What you're about to hear is a short version of a full interview that we conducted with Commissioner Fish. You can hear the entire episode by looking for it on KBOO.fm under my name, Tom Flynn. Today we're speaking with City Commissioner Nick Fish. Commissioner Fish has served on the City Council since 2008. He leads the Bureau of Environmental Services and the Portland Water Bureau. Among many other roles, he's council liaison to Elders in Action and the Age-Friendly Cities Program.
First of all, thank you for having me on today.
Thank you for being here. You have a reputation here in Portland among the people in gerontology and the people who work with older folks as being interested in this subject. Is that true, and why is it, if it is?
Well, it's true, and I'll give you a complicated answer. Things normally have a personal story. So my grandfather, who was quite a character, lived to 102, and he married his fourth and final wife when he was 100. And at the wedding, he announced that he had married the love of his life, which did not sit well with my father, who still remembered his mother. And Grandpa was vital and active and engaged, literally until the day he died. So I would say that it starts with probably a role model of someone who lived a full life. And I used to ask my grandfather, what do you attribute the secret of your longevity? He said, everything in moderation. He was walking literally until almost the end of his life.
You've been a proponent of elderly issues and interests in Portland for some time now. What are your major accomplishments?
Well, I'll give you one example. One of the things I did when I was housing commissioner is we saved about 1,000 units of at-risk housing that were downtown where there were federal subsidies that were about to expire, and the owners could then throw everybody out and convert their buildings to condos or whatever they wanted. And we developed a plan called 11 by 13. It was to preserve 11 buildings that were home to older adults and the disabled between 2008 and 2013. And I'm pleased to report to you that we saved every single building, got them all transferred into nonprofit ownership, and then put in covenants protecting the tenants for the next 60 years.
I've noticed that the age-friendly program seems to be languishing somewhat. An indication, I went to the website and there's a calendar on there, but it has nothing on it. Is there some gap in this program now? Is there some lack of energy in it?
Well, it's a fair comment, and let me put it in context. The city, we've had a series of one-term mayors, who've served for one term and then moved on. So that makes it harder to have continuity around a whole host of issues. And what I'm looking to is Mayor Wheeler, who is a real champion on these issues, to declare in our budget process and some of our policymaking his priorities so that it's woven through everything we do.
You've been the city council liaison to one of the key groups that represents elderly interests in the city for some time now, Elders in Action. What's the story with that organization?
Elders in Action is funded at the city through the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. I'm not in charge of ONI. Commissioner Udaly is. But as the liaison to Elders in Action, you know, I'm keeping a close eye on the budget and making sure they're treated fairly. There has been a budget cut proposed of 50% of what we give them, and I can't support that, and I won't support it, and I don't think the council will. If we want to restructure the relationship, if we want to think about a long-term vision of how we work together differently, I'm all for that conversation, but I will not support a budget cut this year. The work they're doing is too important. And if people want to have a conversation about making them more inclusive and even more effective, let's have that conversation without cutting their budget.
What is it about the situation of the elderly in Portland that keeps you awake at night? There are lots of things to deal with, but where should we be focusing our energies?
The thing that I'm concerned about is social isolation. What happens as we grow older, and particularly if we lose a loved one, is there's this greater risk of social isolation that leads to health consequences and other things. So how do we get people out of their apartments, out of their homes? How do we get them to spend time with others and become social? And there's a lot of things that we can do. One of the most inspiring that I've heard of recently is something the Asian Health and Family Center is doing with our help, that is the city's an investor, out in Lentz. They're building a new community center for the Asian community. They're calling it the House of Love and Kindness. And I think we should name all of our public buildings Houses of Love and Kindness. I just love that. There will be a room, there will be a floor in the building that will be dedicated to people that are dealing with chronic illnesses like cancer, where they'll be invited to come in and have the company of others and support services.
Commissioner, anything I should have asked you that I didn't?
Well, I will say this. You know, I'm now in my 50s. I have been experiencing a pretty significant health challenge. I've seen how the healthcare system works and doesn't work. When I put cancer behind me, I'm going to spend a good part of the rest of my life advocating for people that don't have a voice around chronic health issues, insisting that the federal government step up and do its part, insisting that we have affordable and universal health care for all, fighting this idea that those of us with pre-existing conditions go to the back of the line. So as I chart the next 50 years of my life using my grandfather as my model, I have a lot of public service I want to do, and I want to devote a lot of it to standing up for our older adults.
Well, we appreciate your being here. I would just say, and I'd like to hear your comment on this, I think of Portland as a world-class city, a world-class place, but I don't know that the emphasis is there to make it a world-class place for older people and to recognize that the growing kind of demographic and how important that'll be in the future.
Older adults vote in the elections. They have a lot of clout at the ballot box. Older adults are well organized in our community. The AARP is a smooth running machine in terms of getting its message out. The case has been made as to why it's in our own self-interest to welcome and embrace older adults. So I'm an optimist. And as I grow older, you know, I will bring my own personal experience to this conversation. But I think we're heading in the right direction. And I serve on a council with a mayor who has a really terrific track record of supporting older adults. So maybe I'll say some of our best work is yet to come. But I am generally an optimist. And I think Portland can be a model city for older adults.
I'm going to make that the last word.
Thank you for having me. It's been an honor to spend some time with you.
In the next episode, we'll be talking with Drs. Margaret Neal of the Portland Institute on Aging and Alan De La Torre. They've been part of the effort to make Portland internationally known as a model city for the elderly, and they are both experts on the complicated issue of housing the elderly. Be sure to join us. You've been listening to our series on aging in Portland, retired or rewired. You can listen to any episode in this series or the entire series if you go to kboo.fm and look for the show under my name, Tom Flynn. Thanks for joining us today.